beloved in the universe stands fast. Who else would love depraved sinners so much that he himself would die on the cross so that you and I could have liberty? And then, having been killed by his own creation, who else but God is going to rise on the third day to give you and I life? Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be praising him this morning. Somebody ought to be worshiping him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and I were destined for hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he does love us, hallelujah to the King. Father, we just worship you this morning. We thank you for your mercies, your kindness, your compassion. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us though we were unlovable. That you sent your Son into the world to be punished and crucified. Lord, that you might have an opportunity to forgive our sin. That you raised him on the third day, Lord, that he might give us newness of life. We thank you this morning, Father. Great and marvelous is our God. Great and marvelous is our God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, happy Easter to each and every one of you. Thank you for coming out this morning. Glory, glory, glory. You know, Easter really is about the crucifixion and the resurrection. It's an amazing thing how we have, over the course of many years, changed it into something other than what it is. The word Easter is mentioned in the King James Bible. It's mentioned one time. And it's translated from the word Pascha, which speaks of the Paschal Lamb. It speaks of the sacrifice. And so Easter was always about the sacrifice, but you know, the blood of the Lamb is not palatable, so we prettied it up a little bit. And I'm afraid we lost the meaning of what the day is about. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming out. You can be seated this morning. God is a good God. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm glad that you came out. The Lord began to deal with me about a week ago, and I didn't really realize it was Easter. He just began to deal with me, as he often does, concerning the message this morning. And towards the end of this week, I realized it was Easter. And so what you get may not be what you normally are accustomed to hearing on Easter, but it's what the Lord gave me. So if you would turn your Bibles with me, please, to John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. It's a very well-known scripture. I believe it's the most used scripture in the Bible, because it encapsulates really all of God's redemption plan within just a nugget of scripture. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but rather have everlasting life. Because God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That the world through him, Jesus Christ, might be saved. Let's pray. Father, we dare not move any further without acknowledging you and asking you for your continued presence, a weighty presence of the Holy Spirit upon every heart. Lord, upon the stage, in the entire sanctuary, across the online experience, let your Holy Spirit prick hearts, touch lives, and do the work of salvation, the work of conviction in each and every one of us. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And we ask you as well that you would bless the offering today as we receive it throughout the day, online and here in the house. God, we ask you to bless those families, bless those individuals, all that give in support of the kingdom of God. We ask you that you return the blessings upon them. And we thank you for it. Amen and amen. God so loved the world. Aren't you glad? You know, none of us were born to go to heaven. When you were born as a little baby, you were already destined for hell. And except we make a decision during our lives, not just to accept Jesus, but to submit our entire life to him, quite frankly, hell is still your destination. But this scripture tells us that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to the contrary, he sent his son so that the world through him might be saved. It means that the entire redemption plan of God, the death, the burial, the resurrection, which was a horrific scenario, the brutality of the cross, we shudder when we think about the details of what Jesus went through. But he went through all of that so that we could be saved, so that our sins could be forgiven. But if he had just stopped there and we were forgiven our sins, well, the next day we would just start making more sins. So on the third day, he was resurrected from the grave so that you and I could be resurrected in him and we could begin to walk in the newness of life. So when it says that the world through him might be saved, it does mean that we're saved from our sins. We can't forget that. But there's more to it than that. Because as I said earlier, every human being ultimately was destined for eternal hell. That means to live in not in the absence of God, but to live in the presence of God's wrath forever. Age after age after age. As long as God is, that's how long hellfires will burn. And that was my destiny. It was your destiny. And it's only when we take the off-ramp named Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, only then can we change our destiny to heaven forever. You know, in these last hours that we're in, we've lost the fear of God. Our society has lost the fear of God. It's why we can dress any way we want to dress and go to bed with anybody we want to go to bed with. We can speak any way we want to speak. You have only to listen to just contemporary music just a little while before you realize how degraded we are as a nation. And how did this happen? How did it happen that a nation that feared God and tried, though stumbling, to walk in his precepts, how did we come to a place that we have no regard for God's commandments at all? How did that happen? To a large extent, the preachers, the churches, have simply stopped preaching on hell. We've lost the consciousness of hell. And as I said earlier, we have events like today where it's Easter Sunday and we put on our pretty Pascal uniforms, our pretty Pascal clothing, and we have the beautiful Easter eggs in the Easter bag filled with artificial grass, and our kids are frolicking in the parks looking for Easter eggs, and we've removed ourselves entirely from the fact that had he not gone to the cross, we would forever be punished in hell. Now, I know someone said, well, brother, this is Easter. We didn't want to hear hell on Easter. But you need to understand what Easter is all about. We can't remove ourselves from the fact because there's no person in this room that it does not impact. There's only one way to escape eternal hell, and that is to receive Jesus Christ, not just to confess Jesus Christ, to give him your life, to let him live his life through you. You give up everything. You give up and walk away from everything. You give it all to Jesus, and then he lives a different life in you. Now, it was important to Jesus that you and I understand the realities of hell. It's a real place. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, if you count up the places, the unique places that he preached on heaven, there's only 5 to 8 teachings on heaven where he's actually teaching on heaven. Unique, non-redundant places. But he teaches on hell over 20 times in the Gospels. 3 times more than what he preached on heaven. Why? Because it was important to Jesus that you and I knew the realities of what's coming at us in the future. It's coming at every last one of us. And here's how you can tell. I used to be young. No gray hair. No wrinkles, no nothing. Everything was good. As good as it was. But I can tell now that age is pushing me towards this destination that I'm headed to. And there's no off-ramp. There's no way I can slow it down. And it's doing the same to you. You may be young and beautiful today, but that ain't gonna last. Please believe me. Young and beautiful is only for a moment. So Jesus mentions it this many times because he wants you and I to know this is a reality. That if you have a birth date, you also have a death date. And after that death, there is a judgment that determines, or at least executes the judgment of whether it's heaven or hell for you. And it doesn't mean you have to try to be good, because you can't. Have you ever tried to be good? And you may be all good over here, and then over here is all evil. But it doesn't mean that at all. It means that you accept Jesus. You say, Lord, I need you to be both my Savior and my Sovereign, and I need your precious blood to cover me so that I put on your righteousness. So in that day of a judgment, God doesn't look at me. He sees you, Jesus Christ. But it's not just a simple word of mouth confession. It's a confession of the heart. And you'll know when the confession of the heart is right, because you will begin to live for God, not in your private life, your public life, your private life, your personal life. All of it begins to be overshadowed by God the Holy Spirit, who changes on the inside. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, he taught on hell, as I said, over 20 times, or uniquely 20 times. And here's the content of one of his teaching. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net. The net represents the gospel message, what I'm preaching this morning. And this net was cast into the sea. The sea represents the whole of humanity. You and I are the fishes. And it gathered of every kind. Now, what it means is the gospel message goes out. It causes churches to fill up, but within the pews of the churches, there are those who are truly born again, saved, changed by the power of God, and there are those who are just doing the religious thing. This is what I'm supposed to do. So the gospel net, it goes out, it collects all manner of people within it. And when it was full, meaning the end of days, they drew it to the shore and they sat down and they gathered the good into the vessels. Now again here, the good is not those who did good things. The good is those who are counted the righteousness of Christ is imputed to them. They are covered in Christ's righteousness. That's the good. They're gathered into vessels, but the bad, that represents the religiously unconverted. Those who had a religious projection of their life, but they were never truly changed on the inside. The bad they cast away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Get that. He said, just like the scenario that he gave concerning the fish, it's going to be exactly like that at the end of the world. And incidentally, when you die a physical death, even though it's not the end of the world tribulation-wise, it's the end of the world for you. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked, that is again the religiously unconverted, from among the just, those who have been justified by Christ. And shall, concerning the wicked, shall cast them into the furnace of fire. That is a metaphor for hell. Now this is Jesus' teaching. He's showing us that in the last day, I hate to be the one to say it, the vast majority of the human race will end up in this horrible place, although all of us have had a chance for Jesus Christ. The gospel has gone around the globe. There's virtually nowhere you can go that you don't find the gospel has been there or is there right now. And if by chance you do find a remote tribe in the Amazons that never been seen civilized man, God has put on the conscience of man's heart an accountability to his creator. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It means that this place is not simply a place where, as many in society think, when I get to hell, I'm going to be the main partier. I'm sorry, no, you're not. You will be weeping over the lost opportunity that you had to change your eternity. The gnashing of teeth speaks of a torment. Because again, you're not removed from the presence of God. You are forever in the presence of his wrath. That's what hell is. It's eternal torment. That any normal thinking human being would take this seriously and say, I've got to make sure that I don't go there. It's like if somebody told you, hey, if you rob that bank, you're going to the penitentiary. Well, I'm going to make sure I don't get confused with anybody robbing that bank. I'm going to do everything I can to avoid the punishment. But saints, there is a punishment coming to the human race. We have mocked God. We have sneered at him. We have joked about him. We have blasphemed him. And there is a day of retribution where God is extremely long-suffering, 2,000 years long-suffering. You can just speak, I think, to anyone here that is truly saved. All the dirt I did out in the time that I was out in sin, all of that, he's so kind, so loving. He just washes that all away in the blood of Jesus Christ as though it never happened. That's the deal that he puts before the human race. And so very often, we take it lightly. And the way that we deal with things like Easter or Christmas, which is God interrupting human society to reveal his redemption plan into the human race, we whitewash it with all of our pagan celebrations. But the reality remains the same. There is a place called hell. There is a place called hell. The progressive Christian preachers, the textual critics, they try to soften it or remove it, but you can't remove this. You can call it something other than hell, but it says wailing and gnashing of teeth. To me, that's hell. Revelation speaks of a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. To me, that speaks of hell. You can call it a bad place or whatever you want to, but I don't want to go there. And you don't want to go there. Now, understand something. Hell was not prepared for you. The Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's why the torment, the punishment is so severe. It was never conceived for man, but because man has thrown in his lot with Satan. In other words, when you were born, because of Adam's fall in the garden, you and I were born with a satanic nature. That's why you cut up every chance you can. And that satanic nature, when you reject the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that satanic nature is throwing your lot in with Satan, and you will receive the same punishment that Satan receives. If you don't look to Jesus and get real about your salvation, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his very soul? This is what Easter is really about. It's about one who was willing, because of his great love for you and I, to die on a cross, to be risen the third day, go to hell, be risen the third day, so that he could give you and I newness of life. It's not a mental exercise. It's a spiritual reality. And it's invoked by us just being serious for one moment with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a public profession. That's fine if you want to. But I mean in the quietness of your own heart. When no one's looking, you got to deal with the one that created you. He breathed life into you and you have to deal with him. And don't look at, I've been so bad. Listen, I've been badder than all of us. But Jesus' blood can make you absolutely righteous. It can make you absolutely whole, but you have to come to him in reality. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. After Jesus did this teaching on hell, because he wanted us to know, he says, Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? Jesus wants us to understand what's coming. It's not like a something that's a surprise at the end of life. He wants you to know. He wants you to have enough information to make a decision. But you have to understand the reality that hell is a real place. And it is eternal. Inasmuch as God is eternal. And that simply means that he has always been. There's no beginning to God. And there is no ending. He's before everything. He's after everything. He is an infinite being. An eternal being. And so when we mock and jeer and continue in our ways, realize you're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with an eternal being. And just as his mercy endures forever, his wrath endures forever. There's a man that Jesus spoke of, another teaching on hell that I'll share with you now. And again, I want to emphasize, Jesus taught these things because he wanted you and I to know. And this year, he wanted you and I to be reminded of it on Easter Sunday. What is really happening in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19, Jesus is speaking. And he says, there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried in by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also and was buried. Now, right there, you'll notice that there is no horrific sin mentioned in the rich man's life. Being rich is not a sin. The love of money is the root of all evil, but just having resources, that's not a sin. Job was the richest man in the East. So there's no sin mentioned in this rich man's life, but what is absent is his acceptance of God's way of morality, or he would have done something for the beggar that was laid at his gate. Laid at his gate because he had the resources to help him. It goes on in verse 23, it says, and in hell, now stop right there, the rich man also died and was buried, and immediately in hell. It means when you close your eyes in death, if you do not know Jesus Christ, immediately you are in hell. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That's how fast it starts. No judge, no arguments, no negotiations. The person dies, and immediately there they are. And they're there, once they're in hell, they never come out. They never come out. Even at the great white throne judgment, the scripture says that this holding, it's the drunk tank. This holding compartment called hell, the whole thing is cast into the lake of fire. And the smoke of their burning, it goes up before God in the presence of the angels forever and ever and ever. This is not a fable. It's a reality. And we would do well to listen to it and realize that God gave us his word because he wants us to know this is coming at you. It's coming at all of us. And there's a decision that all of us have to make. And again, it's not what you do, a big public showing of how I have confessed Christ. It's not that. It's in the quietness of your own heart. And you'll know that when you've gotten down to business with Jesus, you'll know. Because suddenly the Holy Spirit will begin to change areas of your life dramatically, drastically. I don't mean little nits and little. I mean, he goes to the foundation. The axe is laid at the root of the tree and everything comes tumbling down. And then he builds it up based on his righteousness and his morality. I was a dope smoker and a dope seller all my life. I did every drug that was out then. I mean, I was a womanizer. I did everything that in my life was wrong. But then that day I met Jesus Christ. Within a moment of time, everything changed. And it's continued to change over the course of the past 40 years. And I'm not perfect today. I still got things I plead with the Lord to remove these things from my life. But I've never been this good. I've never walked in this place. And I'm sure every person that's truly converted can say the same thing. The most important thing is that I know when I lay my head on the pillow of night at night, I'm not perfect, but I know him and he knows me. And I know that I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's made that change. And in hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. And he sees Abraham afar off. Understand something. When you go to hell, you can still see. You still have your mind. You still are conscious of everything that has happened, including your opportunity to make a decision for Jesus Christ. In hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus, whom he ignored. He now sees him. Oh, he didn't see him at the gate, but he sees him looking up from hell. And he cried. He still has a mouth to speak. He's still able to put together speech and to communicate a coherent thought. He said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." Why didn't he cry out for mercy before he died? God would have been merciful, but he waited, you know, so many times. Not today, preacher. Not today. You just bum rushing me. I'm not feeling it. You will feel it. There will come a day you will cry for mercy from the pits of hell. You can arrogantly look at the preacher and say, "Brother, I'm not worried about you." You will woe for the day that you made a decision hearing a message like this. Hell is a real place, and people will burn there forever. He said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." Meaning you still have a tongue in hell. Your physical body is gone. It goes to the grave, but your spiritual body, which is just like your physical body, it remains. "Cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Saints, it's important for us to understand. The Easter celebration, with all of its niceties, has been made very palatable. But it covers a hard reality. And that reality is that every member of the human race will end up in one eternal abode, heaven or hell. And just because you die doesn't mean you get heaven. You have to have done some things while you're alive, primarily coming to Jesus Christ and allowing him to be the Lord of your life. Saints, when he comes in, he changes everything. It's not just a simple confession. It's not just a simple, "I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart." No, no, no. That's part of it. But it's a heart's confession. "I bow my knee to you. I give you everything. Lord, you are my God. You are my hope. You are my sovereign. You're all that I have. All that I know on this earth, I do count it but dung that I might know Christ. That I might be removed from that horrible place that I'm destined for called hell. And that I might be in your eternal presence forevermore." It's a real heart thing. "And all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But it's a heart call. It's something deep on the inside. So, I know today this is not what you would expect from an Easter message. But we're at the end of the world. The trumpet is soon to sound. And as I look across the masses of humanity, I see multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Many of which will never be recovered. And this morning I pray that the words that I've shared with you will perhaps snatch some from the fires of hell. It's not too late. Don't look at what you've done. Don't look at what you've done. He can fix that. But a life lived in constant rejection of God's offering for salvation, that can't be forgiven. And so today I would ask you, with the words that you've heard, just consider them. I'm not going to have a formal altar call or anything like that. But when you get by yourself, you consider these words. Hell is a real place. There's only two destinations you can end up at. And Jesus is the only one that can get you into heaven. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I've done my very best. Lord, there are multitudes sitting in the valley of decision. I ask you for a weighty presence of your conviction as we leave this place today, as we lay our heads on the pillows tonight, that these words might come back with convicting power. And Lord, you, the Holy Spirit, as I've sown, that you might give the increase. Touch lives here today. Touch hearts. Just right now, you don't even have to stand up, just as you sit there. Just bow your heads for just one moment, and you speak directly yourself to the Lord. If you know him, that's going to be quite easy. But if you don't know him, you've never been saved, just bow your head. Say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Have mercy. I don't understand all of the things within the Gospels, but I ask you to just have mercy upon me. Touch my life. Draw me to yourself. Lord, that I might come to know you. Come on, just right now, out of your own heart, just reach out to the Lord. Just reach out.
Lord, we thank you for the word that went forth this morning. We ask God that it fell. We pray, God, that it fell on good ground this morning. Lord, touch the hearts of your people. Those that may know you, those whose hearts that may have grown cold towards you, Lord. Move on us, Lord God, to draw closer to you. Closer to your word, Father, closer to relationship, because as Pastor Lincoln said, the end is here, Lord. And we don't want to pass over that, Lord God. We want to yield ourselves to you to take advantage of God, the sacrifice that you made for us. So help us, Lord, to move past our pride, past the things, God, that we think we love or that we like in this world. Help us, God, like your word says, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, Lord, and through and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, to follow you and you alone. God, we want you to be the Lord of our life. But we need you, Lord God. We need your help. We need your strength. We are not able to do it alone. We trust your will and your way for our life, God. And we just ask you to help us walk in that will and that way. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Amen. So blessed this morning. Give Pastor Lincoln a hand for the word that he gave this morning. Hallelujah. If you have not had an opportunity to give, please do so. There are several ways you can do that. We definitely need your support. Also want to remind everyone that our laity service is this Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then after this Wednesday, we'll continue the Mark Bible study. Want to let everyone know that we'll be having a memorial service for Sister Gwen Dunn this Friday at 6:30 p.m. So if you're able, please join us in support of the family. And then lastly, we will have a prayer set of worship with the worship team next Saturday, April 18th from 10 a.m. to noon. So if you're able to join us, please do so. Happy Resurrection Day, y'all. Amen. So good to see everyone here this morning. If you stand with me, I'll just pray us out. Lord, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your love and your many blessings, God. Thank you for just allowing us to be able to celebrate your resurrection, not just on Easter Sunday, but every day, God, we benefit from your sacrifice. And we thank you for that and honor you for that today. Lord, we love you. We just ask that you allow us all to have a blessed time of fellowship with our family and friends today. And be with us, Father, and protect and cover us until we return here again. Bless our offering, Lord, and just stretch it, God, to meet the needs of Christ Unveiled and all the ministries that we serve. We lift it all up to you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.